Hello, everyone. Before we get to today's episode, I have to do a super special shout out to friend of the show, Gabby Sykes. Hello, Gabby. She is supporting the show with a $25 a month donation on Patreon. Can you even? I know I can't. We love her. She's such a great supporter of the arts. She's a great supporter of this show. She's just kind of a great human being in general. If you know her, you know what I'm talking about. So thank you, thank you, thank you to Gabby for supporting Boozed. And additionally, if you would like to support the podcast, please consider following, subscribing, sharing, liking, and commenting on our post across social media. You can find us at Boozed Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit. I don't know. I don't really go on Reddit, but if you're on Reddit and you want to find us there, you can do that. Follow us. Follow us everywhere. Share with your friends. If you want to be super special like Miss Gabby, you can go to our Patreon site at patreon.com/boozedpod. See what I did with the branding there? It's all the same, people. Just search Boozed Pod and you'll likely find us. Look for that little red logo that you've all come to know and love. And you can support us for as little as a dollar a month. Like, come on, a dollar. Do you have a dollar? You don't need that biscuit from that fast food chain today, do you? No, of course you don't. Give that dollar to us. Because we are an independent podcast. We don't get any money from sponsors. It's all out of our pockets. So any support that you can give financially will be very well received and loved. And if you're supporting at certain levels, because there's different levels to this, yeah, there is, you can have special perks like behind-the-scenes video, behind-the-scenes photos, some maybe extra spooky special video messages from our guest and from myself. Hello, who wouldn't want that? Right now, on Patreon, if you are donating, you have like 2 extra hours of content. Yeah. Extra stuff with our guest. And if you love the episode, you're definitely going to love the extra content. So again, go to patreon.com/boozedpod to make your a monthly pledge. We appreciate it so, so much. It helps me pay my sound engineer. She appreciates it very, very much. And if you can't donate, that's fine. Again, simple ways to support the show are liking, sharing, subscribing, following, commenting, rating, writing reviews on any platform that you can find us. We appreciate it so, so much when we see you sharing and liking and interacting with us online. Please keep doing that. Be sure to tag us in anything you post at Boozed Pod, or you can do hashtag Get Boozed. All right, enough of all that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and on with the show. Boozed contains adult themes and language. Listener beware. And welcome to Boozed, where we get supernatural and shit-faced. Today, I have 2 wonderful guests with me. It's a super special episode. We have Morgana and Gloria in the house, and they are behaving really, really well right now. I'll try not to giggle into their mics. Ladies, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Morgana. Hey, world.
I'm Gloria. Hi. We don't have last names.
I'm Morgana Wilborn.
And I'm Gloria Benavides.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. And so I'm super excited to get your stories. If you don't know these 2 wonderful women, I'm going to let them tell them a little bit about themselves to you. So who would like to go first?
I'll go. Morgana here. Hey, I'm a native Dallasite. I've been an educator for over 10 years. I am a photographer. I'm a photographer and I act on the side. And yeah.
She's a woman about town.
I'm a woman about town. Those are the great things about me.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about your photography business. So do you like do events? Do you do just portraiture, headshots?
Yeah, I do it all. So lots of, I do all the services like wedding photography, events, headshots. Sorry, y'all. I've started drinking.
I'm drunk, guys.
My company is called Photo Noir. Started it in 2008. I'm coming upon the anniversary of one of my largest shows called Colored Girls. And I've also had my art up in many of my friends' theaters like Water Tower and Stage West. And I have another one coming up soon. So I'm really excited. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to plug that if when the time comes. I'm sorry, this will actually release probably in September, so it might have already done. But let me know what you're coming up with.
Right on.
And then, and I'll be sure to plug it. And so that's Photo Noir, N-O-I-R-E. Gotcha. Right. Awesome. Awesome. And Miss Gloria?
So I... my name is Gloria Benavides. I am an artist. I'm an actress. I've been acting since I was 12 years old. And beyond that, I'm a teacher. I've been an educator since I was 22. So, good God, it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. So I've been both of those things for a long time now. I grew up on the border. I grew up in Brownsville, Texas, in South Texas. So I moved to Dallas for college. There was culture shock there. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a professional nervous person, and I like to play pretend. And so I've done a lot of theater in the last 2 years after taking a long break. And so I've worked at a lot of the houses in town. And that's my jam. That's my side jam.
Well, thank you all. And we also have Sydney here, our lovely, Sydney. Wonderful sound engineer. You might hear her. She doesn't have her own dedicated mic, but she is more than welcome to share the mic.
But she's dedicated.
With me. But she's very dedicated. She's making us all sound good, hopefully.
On the mic.
Definitely. She's definitely making us sound good. For those who can't see us, so I should probably say Morgana and Gloria are pretty much like BFFs and they work together.
That's actually not true.
No.
Oh, I got really excited.
Just kidding. We're real good friends. We see each other all the time.
And text each other.
Yeah, we text each other. She texts me at 6:30 in the morning when I am not conscious.
I have no life. She's actually like married with like animal children. I have no one.
I have human babies that she calls animal children. It's really disrespectful. Just kidding. I got cats.
And a dog.
Marla.
Awesome. All right. Well, if you are new to the podcast, which you might be, we're about to get supernatural and shit-faced. We're already a little shit-faced, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I ran out of a drink.
Uh-oh. Do we need to take a drink break?
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to refresh our drinky drinks, and we'll be right back.
Echo.
All right, let's get to your stories.
All right.
Yes. All right. Yes. Awesome. So who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Miss Morgana. Yes. All right. What is your supernatural story for us today?
So this story holds a lot of connections to my family in various ways.
Morgana doesn't have a family.
I don't know. I was born at a fire station. I just appeared.
In Bedford.
On stage at Bedford.
She was born at on stage. She was born at Louisville. Louisville Community Theater.
Okay, big community.
Sorry, Mo, go on.
So the story is very, very close and near dear. Are you ready, y'all?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
So, Gloria, I don't like how you said that. It's not a porn story.
I'm ready.
Sweaty balls.
Camille is cool. It. All right. So there was this journalist, a writer, traveling around, and they went to Lavinia, Georgia. You heard me. Lavinia, Georgia. And they were collecting stories of individuals, you know, just, I don't know if these were slave narratives or what, but it was some black folks. What is that, Gloria?
Me holding a lantern outside of the cabin. Like, we do, why?
It looked hangy. I got scared. Oh my God,
we've done it a million times. We're going to see. This is why I don't feel comfortable doing those slave narratives with
see,
you.
See, there's a lantern. Okay. I love you, Gloria. No disrespect. So in Lavinia, Georgia, the author, you know, is walking around collecting stories, meets this lady named Linda Bolden.
Generic white name.
It's a black woman.
Generic black name.
So Linda Bolden. And then Linda Bolden suddenly turns to the writer and is like, oh my God. I can share this story with you. You, yeah, I trust you. And the writer's like, okay, Linda, tell me your story. So she's like, you know, when I was growing up, I hung out with my grandma. And we'd, you know, take walks and whatnot. And my grandmother was at the time known as a medicine woman. You know, nowadays they'd call them a midwife or what Erykah Badu is known as a doula. But
nowadays they'd call them running a pyramid scheme. Multi-level marketing.
Doulas are legit, though. I almost
they are.
One.
They are. That's I have some friends.
Bitch, no, she don't.
I do. Samantha Soul. Shout out to Samantha Soul.
Hey, Samantha.
What's up, Sam?
I see you, girl.
Hey, Sam.
Bad dude, you just had a birthday 3 days after mine. I see you. So anyways, so she was like, you know, my grandmother was a medicine woman. And we used to take walks. And one day we were walking, I saw this fine dressed woman. And I was a little girl and I went running after that woman. I was like, ma'am, where are you going? And my grandmother stopped me. And she's like, girl, you can't go after them. She's like, what are you talking about after them? She's like, oh Lord. And they go sit. They go take a seat. She said, let me rest myself. Let's rest. Let me tell you. But you can't go on running after them. And she said, well, Granny, why can't I run after them? She said, because that there is a spirit. She said, a spirit? She was like, yeah. She's like, usually when you see them, they come back because they either just want to be remembered or they want something. And she was like, well, Granny, how can I see a spirit? She was like, you were born with a veil like me. A veil. So if you don't know what a veil is, once you're born, you have this thin layer of skin that's over your face.
Mm-hmm. Is it like the skin tags on
my
neck?
Oh, God, this is way better.
No. This is way better. Oh. Way better. It's like a membrane.
Yeah.
But they call it a veil.
But we do need to see about that. I don't know if you can see
it. I gotta go talk to a dermatologist. Yeah,
that's who you need to go see. So she was like, a veil? She was like, now baby, I was born with a full veil, but you were born with a half veil. Half veil, you can see spirits. Full veil. You know, I can't see spirits. I can't see, you know, people from the past. But I can see into the future. So you see people in their present and those who have come from the past. Whereas I can see what's happening in the future. She's like, Granny, you can see into the future? She's like, not so much the future, but I can see patterns. So if I know somebody's going to die, that means, like, I may see a vision of them, like, in white. And the only time you wear white is if you married or dying. And I had a vision of somebody, and she already married. So I know she about to die. But if I see patterns like, you know, the the lines in the boards of the floor are the same, or I see patterns of the same climate for somebody, then I know that they'll be around for some time. But she's like, baby, you can't go, you know, talking to spirits and whatnot. So that's when she learned that she was born with a veil. And she shared this story with the journalist. And this is... This
are you talking about...
No! This is just real black, so it's like reminiscent of black stuff we know. I'm really talking about Ro, my mom. She was born with a veil. I wasn't, but like I have like weird senses just because I'm a Pisces. I don't even know if that means anything to y'all. But like my mom was born with a veil. Now this story is not about her, but when I read it, I was like, oh my God, this is everything. You know, I have to deal with my mom because my mom has seen some crazy shit.
I've seen some things, man, and some stuff.
And she's like relayed like weird stories. Like one time she and my aunt were walking down the street and by the railroad tracks. You know, black folks live by railroad tracks. By the railroad.
So do Mexicans.
I know. Gloria.
60s.
Right now.
Baby boomers. Me this afternoon.
So like my mom was going to the railroad tracks and she and my aunt saw this black man who was real beat up and bleeding. And, like, reaching out for them on a, like, mattress. And they were, like, freaked out. And they ran. And they were like, you know, black folks be nosy. They're like, let's go see if he's still there. So they went back and the mattress and everything was gone. And then...
Only at Mattress Giant.
Oh, my God. I don't know what kind of ghost giant this was, but it was awful. And then my mom would go into catatonic states where, like... She could hear, like, wings flapping and shit, just crazy, but she couldn't move, and she'd be crying, and she'd be like, oh, my God, and this happened to her many times, or, like, one time she and my aunt went out, and they saw this homeless man, and he had, like, blood-red eyes, but he was real calm, and they believed they, like, saw Jesus in the flesh or something. I don't know, that could be, like, far-fetched, but she's having moments of like weird stuff. And like as a Pisces, I feel like I've got like a lot of high intuition being connected to someone who was born with a veil.
Yeah.
And like we've had like real deep conversations where it's like you don't think you could talk to your mom about some weird shit, but like she understands me. It's real weird. And then I like astral project all the time. Like I'll be with in the car with Gloria and I'm gone. I'm somewhere else.
Like Charmed?
Like,
yeah,
she says astral project, but I think she's just not paying attention. She's miles away.
She just didn't want to listen to you anymore.
So that's my story.
Awesome, thank you for sharing your story. So, like, does your mom still see stuff to this day, or was it like just when she was younger?
I don't know, she probably does. I don't know how much she doesn't really share a lot, but she really sees a lot of like vibes with people and can tell me about people, like whether it's friends or like people I date. Mm-hmm. Like it's some kind of like sense she gets.
Is it usually right? Like her sense.
Yeah,
about
and
people?
It pisses me off.
I know, right?
Oh, it's so annoying.
Especially when it's someone you're dating.
Rhonda knows what's up. Rhonda knows what's up. I love Rhonda.
She's great.
One time we were having Morgana and I went to. I went over to Morgana's apartment and we were having a real serious fucking work meeting and Rhonda showed up and Rhonda fell asleep.
Oh, it was great.
She was real sleepy, dude. And she fucking fell asleep in a chair, in a real uncomfortable chair with her head thrown back across the chair. I know it's for fucking, it's a podcast, but y'all.
She's great. She was just like, oh yeah, y'all look good. I'm comfortable.
She has a real flexible neck.
She just bathed in the sunlight.
It was the best thing.
She's great.
In the whole wide world.
But we're weirdos, so.
So does your aunt have the same thing? Did she see it too? Or is she just kind of going along with what your mom said?
I think she has her own stuff. Like my aunt, what's funny is like my aunt is a Virgo, like Gloria. This is how I know how to deal with Gloria, because my brother is a Virgo.
But does she know how to deal with
Gloria?
And so, like, she's, like, kind of over the top, but, like, has, like, senses, you know? But I think, like, when my mom's with people, like, they kind of experience a lot of things that she's experiencing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. We've had moments where we've experienced, like, this dude that I was going to lease an apartment from, but his energy was so evil and dark. And I was like, Mama, that man seemed real dark and evil. And she was like, we don't need to be here.
Oh, my God. That would freak me out. I don't know how it would happen.
Yeah. I don't know if it's spiritual or what, but you got to listen to your mom.
You got to listen.
My mom went through some shit and she fucking survived it. So, like, whatever it is, I'll take it.
Baby boomers are the bomb.
Yes, dude.
They're,
yes.
Like, so problematic.
Okay, boomer.
Yes, they say stupid shit. They've
gone through a lot.
And they're always right.
Right.
About
everything.
They're not always right. They're wrong about a lot of shit. But when it comes to intuition, they're fucking right.
That's real.
You know, I feel like that's going to lower your credit score. And I'm like, Mom. And then she was right.
It's real. Like, I agree. Yeah, but that's my supernatural story of the night.
Very nice.
Rhonda.
Lord. Waiting in the... I made it real... All right. It got real slavy.
You sung like three different spiritual hymns in one sentence right there. It's wait in the water.
Rihanna's always talking about the drinking gourd.
So I believe I would love to write a musical about Harriet Tubman, man.
Oh, please do.
Hey, what happened to the Harriet Tubman fucking $20 bill? What happened to that?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Look, we all know what happened to that.
I know exactly
what happened to that.
White supremacy.
I would take a fucking Harriet Tubman $20 bill.
Mm. Everyone would. Well, except for some people.
Mm.
I would collect that shit. I would put that on my wall in a frame.
I don't even carry cash. I would carry
Harriet. Fucking Harriet Tubman. She's Moses, bitch.
I feel like every person of color would only ever have $20 bills from
now on. You got change for a Harriet?
I got change for tubs.
I got them tubs. That would be in all the rap songs.
Fitty, I got them tubs.
Tubs in my glove.
I'm not hip or with it.
what are you saying?
I don't know.
Okay. She's just hyping. She's the hype man.
Mm. I'm your hype man, and no one's excited.
All right.
I have two stories.
Okay, you have two stories.
I have two
Gloria.
Stories, and I awesome. Want you to tell me what's more appropriate, because she told a personal ass story, and
I'm
mine is
sorry.
Like a fucking Mexican, like,
folklore. No, I would love to hear Mexican.
But I have another story that my dad.
Well, tell both.
Do whatever
you want. Or
girl,
both.
I just got my story to tell.
I know, baby. I'm going to tell you about the story of my dad first.
Okay.
So in the late 1970s, early 1980s, my dad was a young adult, a young Mexican-American male trying to make it, right? He grew up super fucking poor, like beyond a lot of people's comprehension, right? And so he spent his whole life trying to prove himself. And he decided, because he didn't do that well in school and he was never really accepted, he had a complex about whatever it was. He opened up a business, right? And it started to do well. It did well later, but it actually in the beginning, it was really, really stressful for him. And he handled anxiety about it as well as I did. So he couldn't fucking handle it. And it was late 70s. So there wasn't really like a word for, you know, generalized anxiety disorder, right? So he would fucking wear his stress. He got married pretty young, and he had kids, and he went through a really, really ugly divorce in the late 70s, and he didn't know how to fucking handle it, right? So he moved out of his house, and he moved into an apartment, and that's when the business started taking off, right? So he was working like 20-hour days, like ridiculous shit like that, and he was away from his kids, and he was super fucking depressed. But he was a good-looking guy, and he was really charismatic, and so he would fucking work all day, go out all night. Sometimes he'd bring somebody home, sometimes he wouldn't. This was a night that he wasn't bringing anybody home, but he, you know, he'd get like 4 hours of sleep a night. And he said he lied down one night and he said he had the window to his apartment open, right? And it was, the window faced a busy street in Brownsville. And he said he closed his eyes and he was trying to go to sleep. and he could still hear the cars passing by, but his body seized up. And he said that he couldn't fucking move. Like, he could move his eyes, and he could hear things.
Catatonic state.
Devil on your back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he says that he felt something open the door to his apartment and come in. Mm-mm. And he said that what happened next took what felt like 3 hours to pass. And whatever it was, like this dark thing, this hairy thing that he could smell but he couldn't fucking see, came into the room. And again, he could still fucking hear cars pass as they went by. And he could still smell the air in the room. And like, he was there, but he wasn't. And it took forever, but whatever this thing was, opened the door to his bedroom, climbed on the bed, and then climbed on his legs. And he was having a full-blown panic attack. It climbed up on his stomach, and he said that whatever it was looked like a fucking monkey that had, like, a human face. And it stood on his chest, and when it stood on his chest, he couldn't breathe anymore. And he stared right into it, and he could still hear cars honking and passing in the street, but he was paralyzed from the neck down. And that whatever the fuck that thing was stood on his chest for a long, long time until he felt like he was gonna die. And then he woke up, and it was over. But when he sat up and he realized that it was all a dream, he could still smell whatever that fucking animal was. So I think he was going through some, like, really hardcore sleep paralysis. And I think he was dealing with some really severe anxiety and depression. But I just know that when he told me that story when I was a kid, and he wasn't even meaning to tell me that necessarily. He was telling a big group of adults, but I happened to overhear it. I spent the next 10 years, and really up until now, fearing that I would have some sort of sleep paralysis like that. The truth is, my dad was a big guy.
Same.
Yeah.
I knew what you mean.
My dad was a big guy, and he, I think he had sleep apnea, and it was cutting off oxygen to his brain, and so I think he was fucking hallucinating in his sleep.
But you know what's crazy, Gloria, is, like, I've read in a lot of, like, folklore those types of beings, mm-hmm. but, like, only on, like, women. They would, like, come in and be on women. And those women will become pregnant. That's some, like, far off folklore. But I've heard of that specific, being type. That's so crazy.
I think that's common, dude. Yeah. I think it's common, and I've read up on it, and I know that it affects, like, I said devil on your back, like, making fun of it, but I heard it actually affects African American people. Yeah. But you know, when my dad was telling us that, we were at a, like, Chinese restaurant, like, fucking just, like, eating fucking egg rolls. My grandmother, who's fucking 92 now, gonna be 93 in November, like, she told me that one time it was similar. It was like sleep paralysis. My grandfather was out working all night, and she was home with the kids, and she passed out, and almost like a cat-like body with a monkey face climbed on her chest, and she couldn't move, and she couldn't move, and she couldn't move. And my grandfather walked into the room finally. He got home from work, and woke her up and snapped her out of it. And he was like, "What the hell is that smell?"
Wow.
Yeah. So it's something that happens. It scares the shit out of me.
I believe in that stuff.
So it was like, you said it was a cat like body with a monkey
they both
face?
they both hallucinated the same thing, or they both saw the same thing.
Did you look it up? Like, is that
it's a common thing with sleep paralysis that people, like, experience, like, that they, like, there's paintings about it, like, people have, like,
it's all the same creature.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same creature.
That's creepy. That's,
yeah,
I've seen that.
Because I mean, it's one thing to, like, have sleep paralysis, it's another thing to all see the same
thing,
animal or creature on
what
your chest.
That's wild. And my dad was not a superstitious guy. My grandmother is not a superstitious person. Like, we kind of pride ourselves on being kind of like through the bullshit, tell you the truth kind of thing.
Right.
So for them to, like, feel that way,
that's real,
you know. And for them to tell it so in such a way that, like, it caused me anxiety and made me really scared is something really, really powerful, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced something like that?
No, not necessarily. No, I mean, no, I can't say that I have, but I think that my dad was just going through a really, really terrible, terrible divorce.
And
it manifested itself in that way.
I mean, I know sleep paralysis in and of itself can be horrifying.
I've experienced it. It's terrifying.
Yeah. I took a Unisom one day when I was like maybe 16, 17, and it shut down my body, but it didn't turn off my mind. Like, it didn't put me into a sleep state. So I was laying there in bed, fully awake, but I could not move my body.
Around that age.
Yeah. And I was terrified because I didn't tell my mom, of course. Like, I went to Walmart by myself and bought this Unisom to help me sleep. And so my mom didn't know. And I'm like laying there in bed. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to die. Right. And it's like all these thoughts are racing. You're just like trying to move your arm and you can't
anything. It's so hard.
I mean,
it's
crazy. I've had something but like I never hallucinated anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't have an hallucinate. Like, I was completely aware of what it was and why. Mm-hmm. So I've not had it to that extent of like hallucinating or seeing things. Yeah. But just that whole like not being able to control your body in general is
terrifying, a mind trip.
What's terrifying. What's funny is, like, when I was in my last apartment, I was feeling like I was laying there, right? And my window was open, but my door to my bedroom was closed. You know, the apartment that you talked about Rhonda was in, right? And so I was laying there, and I was like, fuck, somebody's in here. But I'm asleep. I was like, somebody's in here. I'm not opening my eyes.
Somebody's too lazy to deal with these interpreters.
They just gonna have to kill me.
Right, they're gonna have to I was like, someone's in here. And then I was just like, fuck it. Like, you know how you feel like somebody's right there by your bed? I was like, somebody's there. And then I let it go. So I moved out, right? I was moving out, and the young lady next door to me was like, you're moving out? I was like, yeah, I'm moving out. I was like, you know, I need to get some place where me and my nephew, I thought he was gonna stay with me, can go. She was like, wow, I thought you were moving out because the guy next door to you, like, committed suicide. And I was like, what the fuck?
You didn't tell me that?
I was like, what? She was like, yeah, he committed suicide and his, like, girlfriend found him. And I'm like, motherfucker. That motherfucker came into my house through my window in my bedroom.
He's like, I'm going to kill myself and then I'm going to fuck you. My neighbor. Hey, Morgan.
But, like, that's kind of weird to experience that and then someone tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, y'all, I wish I was making this shit up, but it felt like that. It felt like somebody was next to me, and I was just like, fuck it, fuck, fuck. But I was like, man, but no, my door is locked, and I'm up here. I was like, fuck, there's some spirit. God damn it. You know, that's what being a child of someone with the veil.
Yeah, that's so creepy. Like, I don't know that I've ever had a true supernatural experience.
I don't think I have.
And I'm envious in some ways, but then in other ways, I'm like, no. Mm-mm. No, you because I know it. Too many, like, I've had too many relatives pass and been in a few traumatic situations where
you don't want
I don't know that
I
would.
I mean, I think a lot of that shit has already worked into our DNA anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, all of our life experiences.
POCs, yeah, especially, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we need it.
We don't.
I don't need any
like,
spirits talking to me.
I'm already nervous in water.
I'm already medicated for my anxiety. Yes. Thank you. That's enough.
That's crazy.
All right. So what's your second story?
Yeah. Was that too short? Because
no,
it was too
no,
short.
No, I loved it.
No, the second one is La Llorona. Like,
no, please. No, yes.
Okay.
You have to tell us.
La Llorona.
Hey.
So this chick, right? She, and this is something that I grew up with in Brownsville, right? And it was a really witch stove, like a fucking half-baked ass way of Mexican parents to keep their kids from like staying out late and being afraid of water and shit like that. So like La Llorona, apparently like the story goes like this. Like this was a woman living in like colonial Mexico, right? In the 1800s. And she was a very beautiful indigenous woman, right? and there was a beautiful Spanish landowner who rode into town and he was like, ¿Qué pasó aquí? and this fucking woman caught his eye and he was like, you are the most beautiful woman.
He switched to English.
I have ever. I'm going to tell you in an accent that you're very beautiful. And she was like, ay, señor, save me from this poverty of living as an indigenous woman in this village.
Said all women.
So he fucking puts her on her horse and they ride off into the sunset, right?
The
and they
dream.
Have two beautiful kids. They have two beautiful kids and they're growing up. Well, señor ends up being a puto. He ends up being a real hoe. And
aren't they all?
He really, right? I think the story is about my grandfather.
Oh my God, I thought about that. I wasn't going to say
it. You better fucking believe it. It's my story. He fucking like blows off into the sunset and has kids all over the place. And one time he comes, like he lets this woman live in poverty again and raise her kids on her own. And he comes blowing into town one day with a new chick. And she's devastated.
The disrespect.
Yeah, the disrespect. And of course, like the town sides with him because he's beautiful and he's a white male landowner, right? And so she is at her wit's end. And she makes the very wrong decision of taking it on her kids. So she takes them to the nearest river, and because she can't handle it anymore and she's at her rope's end, she drowns both of the kids.
Ooh. Very Medea.
Very, very Medea. And so immediately she feels bad about her, right? She comes to her senses, right? Because she's having this bout of whatever it is that she's had, and she's made a terrible mistake. And so she goes into the river and she tries to find them. She ends up drowning herself. Ooh. Right? Mm. And so the way that it goes is that, like, she... What did I read? So she ends up going to Heaven's Gates, right? She goes to see... Who's the thing? I'm a gay atheist.
Peter Gabriel?
I'm a gay atheist, so it's Peter. I think it's Peter. Pater. It's Hater. Peter the Hater.
God damn it.
I'm Peter the Hater. She goes up to Peter, and Peter's like, listen, you drowned your kids. Like, that's pretty much like a no-go for coming.
Straight ticket to hell. Yeah.
You're not going to get in here. I'm not going to send you to hell necessarily, but you have to find those kids. And if you find those kids, you can get into heaven. So she spends her eternity, like her entire eternity, trying to find these kids. So the Mexican folktale goes, you know, that if you're out by a river, if you're out late at night, if you're in a dangerous place, you can hear La Llorona screaming out for her children. She's like, ay, mis niños, mis niños. Like, she's crying out by the river and stuff like that. And she'll never find any peace because she can't find those kids. In Brownsville, Texas in the 1990s.
Oh my God.
When I was at Eggley Elementary. Ew. Shout out to Eggley Elementary. We're the Eggley Knights.
Oh, EG Knights.
Lame as fuck.
Knights, dude.
Hey, look, I went to Stonewall Jackson, so ooh, I can't talk about nobody.
Yikes. Hey, look me over. I'm an Eggley Knight.
Wow.
I was destined to be a dork.
Keep going.
Anyway,
please.
So like it was kind of like, what is it, Bloody Mary when you look in the mirror?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Except we were fucking Mexican. So like when we looked in the mirror and they turned off the fucking lights in the bathroom when I was in third grade, oh, we fucking talked to La Llorona. And so, yeah, like I grew up fucking afraid of La Llorona, dude. Like it was just a way of like, again, simple folktale, but like you couldn't go out in the dark, or La Llorona would take you thinking she was her, thinking you were her kid, and she would fucking drown you in the river or whatever.
I don't understand why like she would take you and drown you, because isn't that like why she got in trouble? Why would she take you and drown you?
I think out of like a misguided. I don't know.
She's
she
like,
in the
you're
water.
Not my kid. I'm going to drown
she's
you.
She's like, who the fuck is this? This is Juan. I'm going to fucking drown Fernando. I don't have a Fernando. I'm going to fucking drown this kid.
My friend was telling me about her ex-partner. His mom used to, there was a creek by his grandparents' house, and so every time she'd be like, La Llorona, she's coming, you better get in the car. And so he'd like pull in on the car door to get in, and yes, she'd like, dude, wouldn't have unlocked it yet.
Yes,
and I was like,
dude,
that's
Mexican parents, like,
race through fear.
They work a lot, right? So yeah, like they have to fucking scare the shit out of you so that you don't leave the house.
Exactly.
And do stupid
shit. Black people do that too.
Yes, dude. I
like
think
brown and black people just live in fear.
Yes, dude. You better cast a spell or like fucking scare the shit out of me.
But I don't remember having like any black folklore of anyone coming to get us.
It could be an uncle. It could be like a neighbor.
I had an uncle. Don't hang out with that.
They'll come get you.
That was real.
Where I grew up.
Like, we had real life, like, fucking Lyronas.
Yeah, where I grew up, it was the crack house across the street.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
you got crackheads. You got fucking drug dealers.
All of that shit, dude. There was a guy named Bobby Loco. Down the way, he had two checkbooks. Danny That's what he Trejo. Told me one time.
Crazy Bobby with two checkbooks.
Yes, he's like, one time he came into my dad's business, he was like, my dad was like, get the hell out of here, Bobby.
Wait, what?
My dad, because he was a crazy man.
Why
I don't
do you have two checkbooks? Were they the same account?
He was trying to convince my father that he had turned it around, and he's like, I got two checkbooks. And my dad was like, get the hell out of here, Bobby Local. And it was great, but really, he had like severe fucking mental issues.
God bless Bobby Local.
Fucking rest in peace, Bobby Local.
Where
wherever you are.
Yeah.
Robert the Crazy.
That was great.
Bobby Loco.
I like the story of La Llorona because it's kind of Bloody Mary-ish.
It is.
But it's very specific. It's like she drowned her kids.
In the river, in the great river.
And she drowned herself.
And I grew up by the Rio Grande. I grew up on the fucking border, right? So yeah, there's always... And I grew up 5 minutes away from that fucking river,
yeah,
right?
So
like
she was definitely crawling around your town. Like, children.
How's this story about the white patriarchy? Like, girl, why are you drowning your kids?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, she was the fucking indigenous woman, right? Who couldn't fucking do it.
Roma.
Aww. Party foul.
Roma.
No! Mis hijos. I dropped a little bit of vodka on the floor.
Sorry, Camille.
That shit will evaporate real quick.
That's Roma. Okay. It cleans. You clean with vodka, yeah, right?
It's a poor person's Febreze.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're poor. I'm saying I am.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
But like...
It's okay. I have a roommate. I'm poor.
I'm like, La Llorona, girl. You are a queen.
Yes, queen.
You are a queen.
Why are you waiting for this white, light-skinned man to validate you and your children?
It's this, my grandmother. It's my grandmother's story, except she didn't fucking drown her kids. I'm serious. My grandmother,
but for real, y'all. No, but listen, for real. Listen,
so my grandmother in the 1940s, my grandmother in the 1940s won Miss Brownsville. Like, she was like a simple fucking Mexican-American woman born in Texas.
Beautiful lady.
Her name was Gloria.
Oh.
And she was really, really, really beautiful. And she was innocent, dude. She was a good Catholic girl from a fucking country town. And my grandfather had already started doing like Mexican movies and stuff. And he was beautiful. And he was from Mexico. And he fucking blew into town. And he fucking knocked her off her feet. And he was a hoe. Like, he was hardcore. And he would leave. Like, he would get her pregnant and then go to Hollywood or go to Egypt to film a movie.
Oh, wow.
And then come back into town and fucking get her pregnant again. I understand that there are nuances to the story. I understand that they were in love and stuff like that. But my dad and my uncles and my aunt at the time grew up in absolute poverty. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather would come into town with a fucking color TV.
Wow.
In the 1950s. And he came into town with a Cadillac and stuff like that. And so my dad grew up in absolute poverty. My grandfather was living large. And my grandmother died when she was 45 years old.
Gosh.
And you better fucking believe she died from a fucking broken heart.
Real liar on the shit.
Yeah. My dad said that he watched her when they were kids. They didn't know any better. But my grandmother would get the bills. She would get the mail. And she would look at her fucking bills and just start screaming, crying because she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do. And then my dad suffered from panic attacks later. And he was like, I understand what my mom was going through in the 1960s. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's super fucked up.
Generational trauma. Hyarana.
It's in your DNA.
It is. Yeah. You better fucking believe it. Sometimes I get my mail and I scream. I don't have any kids.
I wish I could pay you more, Gloria.
I don't have any kids. I don't have any real problems, but I still scream at the sky.
She just screams at me.
So.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your stories.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would like to give you the opportunity to plug yourselves, drop some social media details, if you wish.
Sure thing. You can follow me. I've never done this before.
I know, right?
You can follow me. I think, oh, Jesus, what is my handle on Instagram? No. I think it's at Gloria Vivica.
Yeah.
Gloria Vivica, V-I-V-I-C-A on Instagram. And I will be performing in Real Women Have Curves April 26th through May 19th at the Dallas Theater Center here in
Dallas,
Texas.
That'll be way after we release this.
Oh, fuck.
Or way before we release this.
I'll be performing the Academy Award.
Right on.
I'll be doing something, y'all. Yes, just follow me.
She will, though. Right on.
And you can find me on Facebook at Gloria Vivica Benavides. Thank you.
You all can follow me at Facebook. Oh, please don't follow me on Facebook. Instagram, Morgana DeLune, or Photo Noir.
She's French, y'all.
Yeah, right on.
DeLune.
I got a French Black African family. Don't play me. But I don't know what acting work. No one really hires me. But
that's
like,
not true.
Sometimes one-offs, but like, I don't know what my life will be in the future. So why don't y'all... Why don't y'all just, like, you know, follow my photography? You need headshots? I got you.
Just stop by our house and...
Oh, my God!
Is DeLune really your... Is it your real name, for real?
No. No. That's just, like, Morgana Moon, because I love the moon.
I accept it.
Thank you.
It's
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Otherwise, you can catch me and Gloria at Dallas Theater Center.
At Dallas Theater Center or Nova on Thursday. Or fucking The Playwright at 3 p.m.
The Playwright's a great place, but yeah.
Oh, that's me making all that.
I gotta pee so bad.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I said the devil just might kill you in your sleep. Oh, come on, say the devil
just might kill you in your sleep.
The devil's gonna hold you down.
The devil's gonna hold you down.
Stay right up on your chest
so you can't breathe.
Oh, I said the devil
just might kill you in your sleep.
Whoa, I said.
Thank you for listening to Boozed. Our theme was composed by Vincent Parrish. Sound production is done by Sydney Johnson. You can find us on social media at Boozed Pod. That's B-O-O-S-E-D Pod. If you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/boozedpod to make a contribution. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, get boozed.
He just might kill you.
You got to live right.
He just might kill you.
We're going to get left.
He just might kill you.